Anybody getting tired of stewardship yet? That's good, because like God commands it of us our whole lives. We just have a lot of different aspects of things we're supposed to steward in our lives. Today we're talking about work and rest. And I was trying to develop this message and realized quickly that this is going to be part one. So I hope you brought your blanket and your pillow. We're going to practice the resting part first. No, not really. Wouldn't that be great all though? Do you remember, like, I know in my kindergarten, like, you brought a blanket and a pillow and you had nap time. Anybody else still do that? I know some of you do. Genesis chapter 2, as we jump right in. I'm going to jump clear back in the beginning. God paints a beautiful picture of work and rest for us. Gives us a model to follow. Way back in the beginning, of course, right prior to this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was light, and there was plants, and there was form out of the void, and there was water, and springs, and rivers, and animals, and birds, and fish, and humans. When we get to chapter 2, verse 1, God has just done all this creating. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because in it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Several pieces we want to look at this in this passage. The first is completed, then he finished, then he rested, and he blessed it and made it holy. We're going to look at those pieces individually as we go through. So verse 1, thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. Completed means to make whole or perfect. God made whole and perfect all of creation of heaven and earth. What does that mean for you and I? We need to complete or make whole and perfect the task that he has set before us. Not just halfway completed, not partway, but until it's whole. We need good follow through. We need to finish the task at hand. We'll get to finish in a moment. One time I got my tires swapped over to my winter tires, and I only lived about 2 miles from the tire shop. And I'm driving home, and it's nice out. It's a 60-degree day. And right before my house, there's two 90-degree corners, and I go around the first one, and, like, I felt the rear end break loose. I'm like, I'm not going that fast. And it's not icy. It felt like I hit ice. I was like, that was weird. And I go around the second 90. I'm like, oh, look, somebody's tire's rolling down the road. And I go, wait, that's my tire. I didn't make it 2 miles from the tire shop, and I already have a tire falling off my truck. It rolls down the road, and, of course, then my brake drum hits the pavement and makes an awful noise, and tears stuff up. Wouldn't it have been nice if the work was completed? Like, what if God didn't complete the work? Like, let's just say he left out one element called oxygen. No big deal, right? Problem. What if God didn't complete the work? Are you completing the work that God has set before you? Because just being one element short really changes things, doesn't it? Just forgetting to tighten the lug nuts, that last, you know, that last 20 pounds of torque pressure, it makes a big difference between life and death. I am so glad that during creation, God completed his work. And we could go into all the aspects of nature and how God's made it work, and it purifies itself and cleanses itself. And everything works to assist everything else. We don't have time for that today. And I can really geek out on that stuff. So remember to follow through, complete the task the Lord has set before you. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God finished the work. Finish means to end an action or activity. That means there's a stop. We stop activity. We stop action. We stop doing. Why? Because it's completed. We don't finish until we complete, make whole, or perfect. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished his work on the cross? He completed walking a perfect life before God while enduring all temptation. He completed that perfectly. But if he would have never finished the work, said, this is the end, where death, hell, and the grave have no more power, but my people have salvation if they'll believe in me. Aren't you glad he finished the work when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished? It means it doesn't need done again. The activity or the action of the process of completing the perfect sacrifice is completed, and now it's finished. John 3, 16 and 17, two of my favorite verses, but I have lots of favorite verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The completed work of Christ blots out all of my sin and transgression. If I'll ask for forgiveness, if I'll accept his free gift of salvation, and then it is finished. He remembers it no more. What if he had said, I don't really want to do that, Father. How would that change our lives? It could be horrible. I'm glad he did, so we're just not going to go there. Go to the end. I was running one of my open gyms a couple years back. We were over there playing ball. We had 5-on-5 on the court. It's the last game of the night. We're playing to 24 points, playing ones and twos. And it's a dogfight back and forth. Like, who's going to win this game? And it's big bragging rights until the next open gym, I'm sure. We're playing, and, like, all of a sudden the team we're playing is like, where'd our other guy go? They're like, there's only four of us out here. We're like, I don't know. And one of the guys sitting on the bench is like, oh, he left. Like, in the middle of the game, he just walked off the court, walked out the door, went home, or whatever. What if in the game of life, we don't finish? We leave those around us hanging. We disappoint those around us. We let them down. We create distrust. We create disunity. Follow through on what you say you're going to do. Complete the task at hand. Finish the work set before you. And if you're on a team, show up and don't leave till the team leaves. Right? Hopefully the first team you're on is your family. Your family team. Your community team, your church team, actual sports teams. We could go on and on. Then we get to the he rested part. We need to take time to recharge. I got to spend a couple days hunting with my young daughter this last week, recharging, soaking up raindrops and sunshine, looking for the ever elusive elk and deer. But the bears were not so elusive. We had fun, but that story's for another time. You just have to take the bait for now. Take time to recharge in your life. Do you take time to charge? Recharge? Do you ever feel drained? I used to be really bad at this. I would go, and just run on empty. Just get a splash in the tank so I could keep going. But the Lord really chastised me about it several years ago, probably 15 years ago now. He said, you've got to operate from full, not empty. You need to take time away. Part of this for me personally is my walk with God on Wednesdays. I shut my phone off, get away from people, get away from all the buzz. Don't do social media. I get out and alone with God. What are you speaking to me? What are you saying to me? What do I need to work on? It looks different for me from week to week sometimes. You know, a lot of my work is mental. It's emotional. It's spiritual. And for me, I usually go pick a mountain and hike until I'm physically exhausted because I haven't got enough physical activity in during the week. Now, some days I'm physically exhausted on my walk with God, so I'll just lay around with my Bible and a journal and actually relax. I just sit and do nothing. But whatever it is, I get alone to recharge because we need to take that time. Five tanks that we have within our lives. We have our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, and our intellectual. All these tanks need to run at full capacity in our lives. We are multifaceted. God created us this way. The first part we're going to look at is physical, Matthew chapter 11. You know, you have a physical tank that just needs recharge sometimes. Sometimes you just need a snack and a nap. Anybody? Anybody ever get the two-year-old tantrums when you're well past two? And really, you just need a snack and a nap. That can fix a lot of things physically. So Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. This is Jesus' instruction to us. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So you're going to be weary. You're going to be burdened. Like, you don't get to escape that in life. It's going to happen. What you do with it is what matters. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So many times we try to plug that hole with something else. I can just take a five-hour energy drink. I can just have another cup of coffee. I can just have a Red Bull or two or three or five. I can just, when we try to plug it with something physical that only Christ can fulfill within us to truly give us rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to take a yoke upon you is to be coupled with, and now my way isn't my own way, but I'm mirroring or a reflection of that which with I'm yoked with. And if we yoke ourselves with Christ, he is of good nature and good character and loving and kind and compassionate. So we should be reflecting that ourselves or gleaning from that. Learning tells us to learn from him. What are you yoking yourself with when you get weary and burdened? What are you gleaning and learning from? Because Christ invites us to do that with him. How about mental? You ever get mental fatigue? Absolutely. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, sometimes you just need a mental reset. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The transforming of your mind. You don't just sit there and it happens. It's active resting. Rest should be active, not like maybe physically active, but rest should be intentional. I'm thinking, like when I'm on my walk with God, I'm thinking about the last week, how it went, what I did right, what I did wrong, what I could do better. Was I a good parent? Was I a good husband? Was I a good pastor? Was I a good friend? I'm actively seeking God and his counsel. I'm actively trying to renew my mind. Yeah, I shouldn't have said those things to those people. I shouldn't have thought those thoughts. I shouldn't have. Renewing my mind. What does your word to say to do in this situation, God? Ooh, I didn't do that. I was reading from RB 1:1 instead of God 1:1. I need to rewrite my script for the next week. I need to do better. Actively renewing your mind. What do you put into your mind? What do you listen to? What do you read? What do you watch? What are you entertained by? That's what's going in here and renewing your mind. The Word of God says, renew your mind to the mind of Christ. And his thoughts are written down for us. His ways are written down for us. But we have to plug them in until they become first nature. And they just start flowing out of us. And we go, wow, I didn't know I thought like that, but obviously Christ does. And we look at the world way differently if we will do this. Then we jump into emotional. Anybody want to go there? Now, let's skip that one. Just kidding. You know you have an emotional capacity? Have you ever been overwhelmed? Full of emotion? This last month for us as pastors has been rough. Like I think there were 2 weeks straight that I cried every day or was on the verge of tears or even sobbing because it was so emotionally draining, some of the things we were dealing with and helping people walk through. And if you have any compassion at all, it's going to come out of your eyelids. And we had to sit and talk, and we're like, wow, we need a reset. Like this last month has like went from full to like your red light's on. And like if you don't get a refill, like, the car's going to run empty somewhere. And you're going to have to walk with your gas can, spiritually speaking. You should have check-ins in your life. Where are my tanks? Where is my capacity? And as we grow in the Lord, our capacity should grow with us as well. I used to have a 5-gallon tank, and now maybe I have a 25-gallon tank. But our capacity can grow and develop. We don't have to stay where we are. God offers us endless support, but we have to press into him. It's emotional. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. This one kind of ties into the mental also. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Anxious or anxiety is fear. Fear is not from the Lord. Had a slight moment of fear this week. I was with my 11-year-old daughter. She had just shot this monster bear. And we went down to track him or see if he was dead or whatever, and we crossed the draw he was in, and I'm looking for the bear, and she goes, Dad, there's blood right here. I'm like, okay, that's good. So for now, he's up the draw from us. He has the uphill advantage. And I know he's really big. And we're tracking, and like you're on your hands and knees for some of it, crawling under brush. You can only see about 10 feet. It's very thick. It's like blackberries and thorn brush and plum brush. And I'm thinking, I've tracked a lot of bears, but I've never done it with my 11-year-old daughter at my side. And I'm like, I don't like this. Like, I don't have to worry just about me right now. I need to worry about her also. I'm like, you okay with this? She's like, yeah, she's all good. It all worked out. We didn't get eight. But in those intense moments of life, we can succumb to fear and let them rule our hearts and let them overtake us. And we can make poor decisions in those moments. So we had to come up with a plan. It's like, all right, you stay on this side of me as we're moving so I know where you're at all times. So I can throw myself between you and a mad bear if need be. It all worked out. We didn't have to do that. I'm sure she'd show you a picture after church if you wanted to see it. But don't let fear rule your hearts. Fear is, I heard it said this way once, it's false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Don't give in to fear. Don't be anxious. We are emotional people, right? We have emotions. They're real. They get a hold of us. God gave them to us on purpose. It's part of our human walk. It's okay to feel your emotions and feel them fully, but don't be led by them. You should fully feel your emotions. What's going on inside of me right now? Why is it going on inside of me? What made me react or respond this way? What do you want me to do about it, Lord? Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. How do you respond with your emotions? Do you give full vent to your anger, to your joy, to your sorrow? Or do you bring calm in the end through your emotions? You can fully feel them and still bring calm in the end. But a fool gives full vent. Anybody ever seen that? We were at our camp this week, and across the road they were doing some logging. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever heard a brush fit. We heard a full-fledged brush fit. It went something like this. Beep, 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 beep. I can't say any of the words, so that's as close as I can get. You're all catching that, right? Okay. Like, I'm not going to spell it out for you. The kids looked at us like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's having trouble with his equipment. Then you hear a wrench or a hammer, clong, clong, clong. Yeah, something wasn't going right, but it's like, let's go for a ride, kids. A fool gives full vent to his anger. Anger is something you can overcome. It's still an emotion you're going to deal with. There is a righteous anger that should well up inside of you. When a child's being mistreated or harmed, you want to hit my red button? Pick on a kid. Someone who's innocent and helpless, defenseless. And you might see the other side of me. It will be in love. It will not be in sin. But you will feel the full force of me. And that's a righteous anger God has placed inside of us to stand up for those less fortunate. Not to sin in our anger. But it's an emotion he's given us to do what's right when wrong is being done. Spiritual. How's your spiritual tank doing? Hopefully that was a good stall. Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not in it. How's your spiritual tank doing? Hopefully it wasn't the fuel tank. Do you keep your spiritual tank full? Do you read God's word daily? Do you pray daily? Do you intercede for others daily? Do you communicate with God daily? I hope you do. He invites us into daily relationship with him, into engagement. We're invited on his end, but we have to go on our end. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. How do you build trust? Time in relationship. You have to spend time with somebody to trust them at a deeper level, at a next level, or to distrust them. But relationship is the only way to do that. Time in relationship. Do you submit your ways and your plans to God? It says if we do, he'll make our paths straight. Spiritually, I want to walk righteously before God so that his blessing will follow me, because that's what his word promises. 2 Timothy 1:7, another piece of our spiritual tank. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline, or sound mind, or self-control. That's what God has given us, promised us in our spiritual lives. We have power, we have love, we have self-discipline. How are you doing in those areas? How about intellectual? You know you can grow in knowledge after high school, after college, after getting your doctorate. You can continue gaining knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Which one of those categories do you fall in? Do you look for knowledge and wisdom, or do you despise instruction? And Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You want everything you do to prosper? God's given you a roadmap to be blessed by him, to prosper. Intellectually, what are you meditating on? The Word of God says to meditate on his laws, his word. And we get to verse 3 back in Genesis. There's a lot to work on when we're resting. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God blessed and made holy the seventh day, the Sabbath. Do you take a Sabbath in your life? Or do you just work and work and work and toil? In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14. Some instruction in the Word of God. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord holy, the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going on your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God's pretty serious about us taking a rest. Says in the Word of God, 6 days do all your work, on the seventh rest. God has a plan for work and rest. And he says he blesses our rest. It's holy unto him. He even throws it into the Ten Commandments. Right up there with don't kill people, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't dishonor. He also adds in there, don't dishonor the Sabbath, but keep it holy. What does rest look like in your life? When do you stop and get alone with God and recharge? Because we're not only supposed to work for our rest, we're supposed to work from our rest. Our rest day should be a day of reboot that revitalizes, recreates with. Make sure the work is done first and then rest, just as God shows us. Don't burn out and throw your two-year-old tantrums. Discipline of rest is one of the toughest for me. Some of you, the discipline of work maybe is tougher. It's easy to rest. Either way, we're supposed to honor and glorify God in all that we do. When your hand finds something to do it as unto the Lord with all your might. And when you rest, rest with all your might as unto the Lord, giving honor and glory to him. I had this epiphany when my son was 9 years old. I was driving to work one morning. It was early. I had the local radio station on. And this song came on. I'm in a hurry to get things done. All I do is rush and rush and life's no fun. But I'm in a hurry to get things done. And in that moment, God began speaking to me, not audibly, but spirit to spirit. And he said, this song is you. Because I'm a recovering workaholic. I love to work. I love to work hard. I love to work long hours. And God started showing me this film of my life and what I was doing with it. And I was probably working 70, 80 hours a week at that time. Unless I was guiding, then it was closer to 100. He's like, your son's 9 years old. 9's half of 18. Your son's halfway gone from your home. What are you pouring into him? And it was like, ooh. I leave before he gets up. I get home after he's in bed. I don't see him. Don't have a relationship with him. I mean, I do, but not a growing, developing, forming, shaping, molding one. Where I'm pouring into. It was a good relationship. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And God was bringing me into accountability of being a parent, a man of God, who I say I am. And accountability is calling you up to your full potential. It's not just making sure you're not falling into sin. But right accountability is also calling you up to your full potential that God has given you. And in that moment, God was giving me a moment to be accountable as a man of God, as a husband, as a father. Saying you're not leading well just because you're absent. You're providing really well. Maybe even protecting well, but you're not promoting well. You're not calling out who I say your children are, who I say your spouse is. And for me, it was a life-changing moment. I went into the office, said, hey, I've got to change some things. From now on, unless I'm guiding and I have a client, I will work 40 hours a week. If that doesn't work for you, I'll find a new job. Which is a big risk. They might decide they don't need me. But I wasn't resting well. I was working really well. I'm really good at working. I'm not really great at resting. For me, it takes extreme discipline to do my rest day or my Sabbath, to go on a walk with God, to say no to everyone else, because there's always 100 things I could do on Wednesday. There's always 100 people I could go help on Wednesday. But God has called me away to be with him. And Sundays don't work for pastors. It's kind of a work day. But what is your rest day? When do you get alone with God and recharge your batteries? So God, I've worked hard, I've glorified and honored you, and I've worked with all my might. But now I'm taking time away with you to be rested, to be restored, to be refreshed in you so that I can go work again from my rest in you. So which discipline do you need to work on? Work or rest? We're going to get into part two next week. That's going to be fun. What does God call us to do? From the beginning, back to creation of mankind, he's called us, given us work to do on this earth. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, you've given us, God, gifts, talents, and abilities, God, to do work. God, to go out and acquire an income, to be good stewards of this planet and everything around us, Lord God. And we thank you, God, that you also call us into rest. God, where we can meet with you, God, to be restored physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, God, intellectually. God, that we can grow and develop in all of those areas, God, that we are not stuck. But God, there is a future, a bright, hopeful future, God, laying ahead for us in you. And Father, we just thank you that we can grow and develop in relationship with you. God, each and every day, God, as we take time to rest in you. Father, I ask, God, just for the direction of your Holy Spirit as we go about our week. God, you would show us areas we need to improve in our work, and God, areas we need to improve in our rest. And Father, we just thank you, God, for giving us the ability to steward both of these gifts very well in our lives. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.